Saw this questionnaire and I thought it would be kind of interesting. It's been, I don't know, a month or two since, maybe longer than that, since the last one I did. Okay, so the first question is, when listening to an audio here, which is the biggest factor in terms of turning you on? The quality of the voice or the actual words being said? Both, which I know is like a cop-out answer. Hi, little girl. Sorry, my cat has decided to come over and be petted. She loves when I talk. Which is great when I just want her to come over. Not so great when I'm trying to record. I know, baby. I think quality matters a lot. The way somebody sounds, if I like the way they sound. Don't knock over the microphone, please. You might start getting some purring in the background. I don't even apologize for that. That does not give you permission to rub all over it. But I think in the end, it's probably the words, because, yeah, the quality is kind of make or break. So, like, if the quality is not good, I'm not going to like it either way. But if the quality is good, the words matter. I don't know if that makes sense. tell us one thing about you, sexual or otherwise, that you have never told another living soul. No one, not one person. Oh, that's hard. Because, I don't know, between my best friends and my parents, like, I've been pretty open, with my life. One thing I've never told another living soul. Huh. I don't even know. Like, I keep thinking of things and I'm like, but I told somebody about that. Never told another living soul. See, I've told that story a couple of times. I don't know. Like, I really don't know. Like, I mean, I know kind of what you're going for with this question, but, like, the problem is I've told, like, anything that was super embarrassing, like, I've told. I mean, I don't get that embarrassed. I find them funny, to be honest. And, like, super serious stuff, like, I share with my family and friends, like, I haven't hidden much. I haven't even hidden that much from you guys. I guess, I mean, it's not necessarily something I've never told, because I've told this story, I've actually probably told this to a couple of you listening. But I almost died kayaking once. Because I was kayaking a single kayak, and my friend was kayaking a single kayak, and our other two friends were doing a double kayak. And usually single kayaks are actually a lot smaller than doubles, but for some reason these two kayaks were like the same size. In fact, my friend's was actually bigger than the double. So usually, like, it's a lot smaller, it's easier to control, and if you're a good enough kayaker, it's better than a double. Especially if you're, you know, kayaking, like we were with people who didn't really know how to kayak. And that's normally what me and my friend prefer. Well, these things were huge, and we got misinformation. We were kayaking somewhere we'd never kayaked before, or since. and we got misinformation about the currents. We were supposed to be going out with the current to make it easier to paddle, and then coming back in with the reverse current, because the current was supposed to change about an hour and a half after we went out. So we get in our kayak, and it's in a place by the ocean, and we just start going. And all of a sudden, like, we're getting pretty close to the mouth of the river, and we're like, oh snap, like, that's fucking waves, that's the ocean, like, we need to turn back. And it'd been, like, really hard kayaking, and I was like, oh man, this river's just really hard to kayak. So we turn it around, and that's when I realized we actually had been kayaking against the current, and now the current was going the other way. So it was turning as we turned around. It takes a little bit for it to turn, so we did get a little bit of ways in, but by that point we were exhausted, and I mean exhausted. Like, all of us were just dead. Like, we weren't even that far away from where we'd put in, but it was a while. It was going to take us at least an hour to get there. And the two of us that were in the singles were like very physically exhausted. So the two in the kayak together just kind of take off. And from what I understand, from what they've told me, is about halfway away from us, because me and my friend in the single had given up. They ended up, something was in the water and they don't know what it is. They don't know if it was a shark or if it was an alligator, but it freaked them out and propelled them to go as fast as they physically could go. So they made it back, because of the fear of God in them. and then me and my friend were both just kind of looking at each other like, I can't make that kayak. Like, I'm not going to be able to make this trip. Like, this is impossible. And so, we had made it to one point and had to pick a pause. And that pause pushed us, basically undid all of our work because of the current. So she and I just kind of hooked hands and laid down on our kayaks flat out. They weren't sit-ins, they were sit-ons. And just kind of laid out under the sun. And just, we're both mentally prepared to die. Like, both of us were looking at each other, like, honestly, at that point, we were just expecting to go out to the ocean and die at sea. which sounds so stupid, like, now. Like, you think that's so dumb. But that's where we were at. We were so physically tired. We were mentally exhausted. We were just emotionally drained. It was awful. Eventually we were rescued. Obviously I didn't die at sea. The person who rented the boats to us when our friends came back was like, are they having trouble? And he's like, our friends told him that we were, and he came out with a boat and towed us back, with a motorboat, which was, honestly, you would think it would be more embarrassing. It really wasn't. It was quite fun. I took video of it. And that's how we almost died at sea. What sexual fantasy, if any, do you still, in spite of yourself, feel embarrassed or ashamed of? Or to put it another way, would you at least want people who actually know you in real life to know about? It depends. I wouldn't necessarily want my coworkers knowing that I'm into BDSM or DDLG, but I'm not ashamed of those things. Like, I'm not ashamed to be into CGL, I'm not ashamed to be into BDSM, I just don't necessarily want the world to know about it. I mean, I've talked about with certain family members, I've talked, like, my friends know I'm into it. I just, that wouldn't necessarily be something where I'd want everybody to know, you know? Just because the way, like, especially in the South, of the United States, the way sexuality is still kind of treated. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but a lot of people do. So that would be kind of the only thing. Think of all the words and phrases that push your buttons. All the things that someone can say to you that turn you on and drive you crazy. Now imagine you have to eliminate them all and never hear them again, but you get to keep one, only one. Which one would you keep? Ooh, that's difficult. It's gonna sound strange, but probably make me. Something about that, like, triggers both the sub and the dom in me so bad. Like, yeah, that would probably be the one I'd keep. If you got a private message saying, hey, your real name, I recognize your voice, I know this is you, how do you think you would feel, react, assuming the message was coming from a standard friend? The funny thing is actually my two closest friends not only know I make this, they've written scripts for me. My family knows that I make ASMR. They don't know the whole extent. I haven't really told them about the porn side. My sister knows, but my parents do not. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd care. If it was the cute guy at work, that would be a whole different story. It's not that I wouldn't care, it's that that would be hilarious. Actually, that's a really good idea. I should write something like that. I should. I'm going to put Cass to write that, and I'm going to record that, because that actually sounds like a really fun premise. If you were going out socially and keen on getting some attention, what aspect of you, physical or otherwise, would be your first and strongest weapon? Either my hair or my eyes. If we're talking physical, people always comment on my eyes. It's why I wear contacts instead of glasses when I'm going out. It's why I focus on my makeup. I'm heavy on the eyes. and my hair is very curly and it's very large, and so people notice it first. And there's a couple of ways I can do it that make it look just, I've been told, really sexy, and I like doing those. Other than that, I just make people laugh. I like telling jokes. So I think that kind of gets people too, if we're talking not in physical. What would your friend say is the absolute best aspect of your personality? I've actually been told by several people what the best aspect of my personality is. I've also been told by several people what the worst aspect is, and even I know what the worst aspects are. I think I know more about the worst side of me than I do about the best. But everybody I've almost ever met who has ever been friends with me, either even for a short term, my long-term friends say this, people I care for at work say this, but that I'm really, really caring, like, to a fault. Like, I'm super generous with time, with money, with just listening, that I put a lot into making sure other people feel loved, feel wanted and needed, feel like they matter, which I think is so important. I think a lot of people don't feel like they matter. I get it, because I often don't feel like I matter. But I'm really good at making people feel like what they're going through is okay, and that they'll get through it, and that there's someone here who actually gives a shit about them and cares about them, and wants them to succeed and wants them to do well. And wants them to be happy. And I think a lot of people don't misunderstand the power of happiness and contentment. It's not about doing well in life. It's not about being super successful or having a lot of money. I say that as someone who has been in dirt poor, and someone who has had money. Money matters to a degree, but not to the way I think a lot of, money matters when you don't have it. Don't misunderstand that. Like, when you can't pay your bills, like, that's a big thing. But if you're able to pay your bills and you're able to, like, get by, like, that is more important than being a millionaire or a billionaire, as long as you're happy. Like, if you're doing work and that you love, that you feel like is contributing to society, or in some way, it doesn't even have to be, I work in healthcare, so, like, okay, like, clearly I do something that contributes to society, but people misunderstand, like, art, there's a lot of in art, videos, like, we wouldn't be half the society we are without the creative people. So, yeah, science matters, and industry matters, but, like, creativity, like, as long as you're doing something that feels like you're being productive and you're helping somebody in some fashion. If you love what you do, you could be a freaking billionaire giving out money left, right, and center, and, you know, I don't know, some fucking movie star, I don't know, and if you're not happy with what you're doing, it doesn't matter. Like, you really, if you're, what's something that's bad? I don't know, a politician, or a congressman, or a garbage man. I don't think I could be a garbage man. I'm really sensitive to smells, so I'm gonna go with that one. That's a huge, those are important things. Like, I know people are like, oh, politicians, and I'm like, but you know what? They actually get shit done sometimes. Like, they're needed. Yeah, they're assholes, and yeah, I think our country's in a shithole right now, but that's neither here nor there. But they are needed. That's just kind of fundamental to a society, is you need somebody to manage, taxes. You need somebody to manage laws and regulations and policies and rules. And those are important. You need somebody to come and get your garbage. Like, I would pay a lot of money for somebody to pick up my garbage from my door, so I didn't have to carry it to the garbage bin. And I did pay for a significant amount to have that previously. I would love to do it here. It's an important job. I mean, it is. Like, environmental services is a huge job. And those people are more of a hero than I'll ever be. Let me tell you that. If you're happy doing that job, even if everybody else thinks it's a shitty job, like, if you're happy doing it and you love going to work and you love your job, like, that's more important than money or standing or whatever the fuck it is people think they need. Like, I don't know. I'm quite happy to have a couple of good friends, a good stable partner, and a home and a job that I love. Like, that matters to me more than pretty much anything. I don't even know how I got on that topic. When flirting, either here on GWA or in real life, what aspect of the other person will draw you in the most and fire your interest? Somebody who, like, I bounce well off of. If they make me laugh, that's, like, a big thing. If they make me laugh and then make me, like, I don't know. There's a certain way of flirting, and I've seen it happen, and it's my favorite type of flirting, where it's, like, teasing each other, I guess. That does a lot for me. Women, what's the strangest thing you've ever had inside you? I'm not too proud of this. This should have been my never told somebody. I just thought of this. I was like, this should have been my I've never been told another soul. Other than the person I was with, nobody else knows this. I had a flagpole. It wasn't a very big one. And I'm not gonna say where it was. But yeah. And I'm gonna tag my good friend and writer, Cassie, who is a phenomenal writer and never does these. So I'm gonna tag her, and even if she'll just, like, I don't care if she writes it, as long as she does it. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed me finally finding something that embarrasses me. I really should have used that as my never told anybody a story. Anyway, thanks.